September 30th, current events. I don't know, you know what, I'll just, and we all know who this is. Who is this? Putin, Vladimir Putin. You know, this is the first time in 10 years he's addressed the UN? First time in 10 years. Wow, something's going on. Don't you think something's going on? When Putin shows up, it had to be important. He doesn't show up for nothing. You guys remember a couple months ago, he disappeared for a while. I mean, I just disappeared. Also in North Korea. But it says, as he addressed the UN, he said, only Assad is truly fighting the Islamic State. He was taking a dig at the West. In New York, the UN defending Bashar Assad as the only legitimate leader of the Syrian state, Russian President Vladimir Putin recommitted Moscow's support to his government on Monday in a speech to the UN. In his first address in 10 years, he chided Western powers for their efforts to undermine Assad, who has presided over this country for the last 4.5 years as it's been enmeshed in a violent civil war. This is Putin now. He says, as he addressed the UN, we should finally acknowledge that no one but President Assad's armed forces and the Kurd militia, you guys, does that ring a bell? The Kurds, found in northern Iraq, but they're also, they have fighters around. They've been coming down into Syria. Those two groups are the only ones truly fighting the Islamic State. Well, what's the big deal about that? He's saying that no one else is really giving an effort. Everyone is saying that they're trying to fight ISIS, but they're really not. This is Putin. So he hasn't shown up in 10 years, and this is what he had to say. He had the floor, and bam, he just let it go. The situation is so much more dangerous than the West is even giving this credit for. In these circumstances, it is hypocritical and irresponsible to make loud declarations and the threat of international terrorism while turning a blind eye to the channels of financing and supporting terrorists. Once again, he had the floor at the UN and he decided to unleash. So, as you guys know, if you watch the news today, there's something's going on with Russia and Syria. He told them, on Monday, you guys aren't doing anything, so I am. So I am doing something. Putin is attempting. He said, I will be attempting to lead an anti-Islamic coalition built around Assad. And I will begin this effort, and I will walk countries out of there who do not want to help us. In the last month, Russia has begun to significantly forward deployment of Russian military equipment and building a military base on western Syria in the Mediterranean. He suggested the United Nations give a resolution that would authorize to fight against Islamic State and to condemn any nations who come up against him. This is a resolution. U.S. President Barack Obama rejected Russia's strategy on Monday, surprise, warning that any military escalation would further destabilize the region. He said coming up against ISIS and Russia's intervention would destabilize the region. I think it's destabilized already. I think it's destabilized. All right. He also reiterated his assertion that Assad has lost legitimacy as ruler of Syria. Okay, we're going to get into this a little bit more in a second, but in this area, specifically, once again, what we're talking about, see Russia to the north of your screen or to the top. It's in the, it's more of a pink color tonight. And to the south, you'll see Syria in the dark brown underneath Turkey. Russia is flooding in to Syria, southern Syria. And then where Syria, right, as you see to the west side of Syria as it goes into the Mediterranean, and right to the north of that is Lebanon. Right below that is Israel in the blue. So right now, Russia has a military base they are building in the Mediterranean. Okay? Now, last March and February 2015, we studied this, that they were doing military exercises in the Mediterranean, if y'all remember that. And lo and behold, 6 months later, they're building a military base. Once again, when you start practicing military drills, it is for a game. No one practices something if they don't plan on playing. Okay, this is hopefully true in all of life. We don't just do things thinking we'll never do it. You're doing something in preparation for actually planning to do it. All right, another UN speaker that we had, and who is this? King of Jordan, King Abdullah? Yep, all right, King Abdullah. The hope for a future, he addressed it, and he said, we reject threats to our holy places and the Arab character of Jerusalem. Interesting how this speech is thinly veiled as an attack on Israel, but also against ISIS. The hope for a future of a peaceful world is severely threatened by the outlaws of Islam that operate globally today. Once again, addressing the UN. That they target religious differences, hoping to kill cooperation and compassion among the billions of people of all faiths and community who live side by side in many countries. So he, once again, there are our government leaders globally who are getting what's going on. This is not about oil. This is not about people just want more beachfront property on the Mediterranean. That's about Israel. It's a religious thing. They want the holy sites. They want that. It's not about Mecca and Medina, which, it is actually, and we're going to get in that in a second too. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. Okay. The struggle against ISIS, which he described as a third world war. This is in his UN speech, everyone. He said the fight that we have against ISIS is the beginning of World War III. A government leader who doesn't read his Bible, that I know of, said the fight that we have against the Islamic State is the Third World War. Because, quote, it is a global collective action of the whole world coming up against the Islamic State. This is a speech at the UN. King Abdullah also stressed the need for the countries to go back to basics. I love this. Okay, so he says all this. So good. And he reminded everyone, we just need to get back to love, peace, and joy. King Abdullah, down. They don't like Israel. Remember, 3 weeks ago, down with Jordan. I mean, Jordan said, down with Israel. We don't want the peace treaty anymore because Israel's bad. He goes, but what we need to get back to is just love, joy, and peace, and compassion. That's what makes the world go around. Have a Coke and a smile. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, by gathering here today of the UN, we acknowledge that the power of all of us united working together far exceeds any one person. Global leaders wanting a one-world government. The Great General Assembly, he said, must address urgent world issues. Sustainable, inclusive development that can deliver more opportunity, especially to young people. Peaceful political solutions to regional crisis. Peaceful, political, global political, right, to regional problems. We have to have a United Nations supplying answers for peace in different regions. Sounds like a one-world government to me, doesn't it? Pastor, that's conspiracy theory. No, it's actually, I'm just reading what he said, everyone. This is like, oh, no, it's right out of current events. All right, everyone, who is this? Khomeini? Everyone, okay. Iran official, the Saudi royal house, the Saudis, Saudi Arabia, will fall within the next 20 years. Okay, we have Sunnis and the Shias. You remember we've studied that? We did a couple weeks on that. The Sunnis are from Saudi Arabia, very good. The Shias, Iraq, Iran, right? As the Sunnis have been going up and through Syria, right? And not along with, so you have Al-Qaeda, you have all these different groups. But Iran and Iraq, they don't get along with Saudi Arabia. There was a division after Muhammad died, the Sunnis and the Shias. So they had a pilgrimage this past week. Did you guys saw this on the news? Several people were murdered and killed. Senior Iranian officials, along with Khomeini, said Saudi Arabia is irresponsible in how they handled the annual Muslim pilgrimage to Mecca, where hundreds of Muslims were killed last week in a stampede. All right. So here we have, they have a pilgrimage. You have Mecca and Medina. We talked about that during our last series, Time of the End. You have Mecca, Medina, two holy spots in the Islamic religion. The third most holiest spot is that of the temple in Jerusalem. This is what they're going after. This is in the Quran. This is not a guess. This is what they're going after. They talk about this because all of these states are also religious. It's a caliphate. All these areas, Iran, it's government and religion. This is why they have a religious leader actually trumps their government leader. This is how it works. So this is, you have Mecca and Medina. He says, more bitter than what has happened in the past incidents with Saudi's king, they are becoming more and more irresponsible. The Ayatollah said that in light of what has happened to this Muslim pilgrimage, he expects that the Saudi government will lose control of their holiest sites in Islam, Mecca and Medina. Why? He said, we hope that God willing, which is Allah, everyone, not get confused, Mecca and Medina will be managed by a true Islamic government within less than 20 years. Once again, well, I thought they're all Islamic. It doesn't make sense to me. They have different ideas. Remember the Sunnis and the Shias, they fight all the time. There is one that's more aggressive. He says, we're going to come in and we're going to wipe out Saudi Arabia. We're going to wipe out Saudi Arabia. All right, everyone. Next, who is this? Bon Jovi. Hey, all right. Praise God. See, the last couple weeks I've been doing musical references, and I like it for everybody. Once again, there is no really end times reference to this at all. I can't even think of one. Although, here's a current picture of John Bon Jovi. I don't want to live in a world where John Bon Jovi's gray. That's how I know Jesus is coming. It has to be. I grew up in the 80s, and it's like I saw a picture of him today, and I went, this can't be. Jesus must be coming. This is impossible. Because if he's that old, that means I'm getting that old, right? Has everyone looked at that? You listen to things on the radio, and we're going to sidetrack a little bit because I think this is important. Okay, because the Bible says, right, I'm not tardy, as other people say I'm tardy, right? Doesn't the Bible say that? Because he said, when's Jesus going to return? He goes, hey, I'm coming back. Well, when are you going to come back, Jesus? Hey, just relax. See, we think he's slow and he's coming. He's not. He's actually very quick. Time goes by very, very fast. So I looked at this today. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. 30 years has gone past since almost 30 years since Living on a Prayer was on the radio. So when you listen to the radio, right, or you go to a restaurant and you hear these songs, and like Kelly and I will look at each other and we'll start singing a little bit, and blah, 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 blah. And she'll look at me and she goes, how old is that? I go, it's like 34 years old. And it's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Time passes so fast, everyone. Time passes so fast. That means Jesus is coming even quicker. I'm just telling you, you might be going through something difficult. That's why I prayed tonight. If you're going through a struggle time, financially, relationally, physically, whatever that is, you know what? Time, you just go quicker. So, you know, keep your eyes on Christ, and time just goes by so fast. The things that you think are insurmountable, we're never going to, oh, man, this is going to be like this forever. No, it's not. Jesus is coming. Even if he doesn't come in the next 2 days, 5 days, 2 years, guess what? He's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than your problem. I can look back at time, and I can tell you what I was doing 30 years ago when this stuff was like, oh, my goodness, this is what was I doing? Oh, man, you think that's your life, and it's not. Things change. Kids change. Your parents change. I'm telling you. So if you can change, and I'm talking about change for the better, there's someone else in your life that can change too. Don't give up because of time, because time goes so quickly. Time goes so quickly. So there's my little music insert for the night. Everybody? Okay. All right. And for those who answered Bon Jovi correctly, well, we're all going to go out together afterwards and have cheese sticks and Applebee's, and we're going to just get this. Okay. I'm kidding. All right. Okay. What band is this? I'm kidding. All right. So Israel's soaring population. Okay. This blew me away. This is out of the Jerusalem Post. The Jerusalem Post, you guys can follow this online. It is their online newspaper. It's like getting the USA Today. It's even more detailed, though. And the Jerusalem Post. Here is an article. Now, just because you write for the Jerusalem Post doesn't mean you're an evangelical born-again Christian, everyone, just so you know. So I'm reading this article. Understand, these are just writers writing for a newspaper in Jerusalem. So here's the article. It's titled Israel Soaring Population, The Promised Land is Running Out of Room. Okay, and once again, this particular writer who writes this, I read his stuff all the time, he's a little bit jaded a little bit. He's trying to interject a little humor and sarcasm. Today, that's why he said the promised land. Today's population of 8.5 million is forecast to reach 15 million in 2060. Okay, 2060. Israel's birth rate, the highest in any developed world and once seen as a survival tactic in a hostile region, could be its undoing unless measures are taken to reverse the trend. Just stay with me now. You're going to see something. The average Israeli woman has 3 babies in her lifetime, nearly double the fertility rate of the rest of the industrialized countries. That accompanied by a heavy Jewish immigration from the, once again, former Soviet Union and Ethiopia. If you guys remember last fall, we studied this. One of the times, the Bible says that there's going to be a migration. The Jews are going to come back from Ethiopia, right out of the Bible, and from Russia. We read this right out of the Bible. This writer is confirming that which the Bible is already saying. Today's population of 8.5 million, although it's forecast to reach a minimum of 15, if not 20 million, means the small country could run out of room. See, this is why I know he doesn't know the Bible. I got something for him here. I should write back. Israel's on the road to an ecological, social, and quality of life disaster because the population density rises because becomes more and more violent. More and more countries come up against Israel every day. That's why I know he doesn't know the Bible. Of course it's going to happen. Israel, he talks about then the dimensions of Israel. It goes through, it says, now, perhaps most troubling, activists say, is that there is no national discourse or recognition that this overpopulation problem exists. On the contrary, government policies are geared to continue to having more and more births. The reasons, now this is where his satirical side comes in. He said, I guess they keep following the biblical command of being fruitful and multiply. Now, turn in your Bibles to Revelations 21. Revelations 21. He had so many things in this article that referred to what the Bible said was supposed to be taking place, that people are going to be coming back to Israel, and then the Jewish people are going to be expanding, and all these things are going to take place. Revelations 21. Everyone there? Revelation 20, chapter 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. John has seen this. He's getting this vision, this dream, and for the first and the first, then there was passed away, and there was no more sea. The new Jerusalem, the capital of the universe, moved to the planet Earth. Verse 2, John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them and shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither there shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Praise God. If you want to be encouraged, read that verse 4 several times. He sat upon the throne. Behold, I make all what? Things new. Everything that I said in my word that's existence, everything becomes new. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and they're faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that thirst for the mountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be his son. Verse 7 right now, anything that you're going through in life, he said, if you overcome it, you are going to spend eternity with me. Whatever you're going through right now, you're commanded to cast it aside and give it to God and keep moving forward. Stop allowing things to prevent you from the kingdom. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars shall have their part in the lake with burneth fire and brimstone. That's the second death. And then there shall come unto me one of the 7 angels, the 7 vials full of the 7 last plagues, and talk with me, saying, come, I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the spirit to the great and high mountain and showed me a great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and that gate's 12 angels, and the names written thereon, the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, man, he's specific. You guys see this? He's given specific things. Verse 14, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof. Verse 16, and the city lieth 4 square. The length is large as its breadth, and he measured the city with reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth of the height of it was even equal to that, and he measured the wall and 144 cubits along with the measure of a man, that is the angel. The building was made of jasper, like pure gold, clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with the precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, and chalcedony, and emerald, and sardonyx, and sardius, the seventh chrysolite, beryl, and topaz. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was gold, and it was transparent as glass. If you don't like where you live right now, it's not going to be much longer. We're going to have a new place to live. So when they say where Israel, or Jerusalem specifically, is running out of space, right? I want to give you what the Bible just said, the dimensions, what this just says. Okay, in dimensions, it's 1,500 miles long. 1,500 miles long. 1,500 miles perpendicular. 1,500 miles high. I can tell you're impressed. Okay. The New Jerusalem is larger than India. I'm going to show you on a map. Okay. That's the United States. This is the New Jerusalem. Proportionately, 1,500 square miles, 1,500 high. It's a cube. We're going to have a lot of room, everyone. God didn't underestimate or overestimate anything. And it's going to be crystal, it's like glass, but made in gold. John saw this. Here's the side profile. Did you know that's going to go past that which of an airplane goes? You got, this is a lot. This is big. It goes way up there, everyone. It goes into a new heavens. Here is, now, in the New Jerusalem, this is what it's going to look like. Smack dab in the center or to the northwest is the Mediterranean. You guys see that? It's the Mediterranean. That goes down into Egypt a little bit. There's the Red Sea at the bottom as it's coming up. That is the size of the New Jerusalem. So when this writer writes, we're running out of room, not actually, that's the Jerusalem size it's going to be, according to the Bible. That's going to be our new place to live. And can you imagine going up that high? If you guys are afraid of heights, you guys can live in the bottom. But there's not a lot, you won't hear a lot when you get up top. People are going to be pitter-pattering the wings and stuff like that. But if you want to, 1,500 miles tall is the city. I mean, this is where it's going to be. So, you know what, these are the things where when you just read Revelation 21, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. This is what it's going to be like. Oh my goodness, you guys, all we have to do, what the Bible says, is overcome what you're going through right now. Why are we reading this? Because this is the promise. If you do this, if you overcome, this is what is about to happen to us. It's not going to be that much longer. I know, because Bon Jovi's got gray hair, so it's not going to be much longer. It's going to happen. All right. Pope Francis, did you know that the Pope was in town? I didn't know if you guys knew that. The Pope was in town. ESPN was covering the Pope that was in town. Yeah, it was just very interesting. It's just interesting, very interesting. Pope Francis praises deal. Pope Francis praises deal with the Islamic Republic of Iran.
It's a good deal.
Pope Francis threw his support behind Iran's accord with major powers as he backed a goal of global abolition of nuclear weapons. See, what he was praising was this deal that we have with Iran makes them stop making nuclear weapons. Right? You guys understand this is what he's... I don't want to read his entirety, but I think you guys know this. The whole deal was for them to stop making it. Of course, they're doing self-inspections. Son, did you clean your room? Yes. Can I go in there? No, Dad. Trust me. I will inspect it for you. It's clean. Just trust me. That'd be like my daughter who doesn't, if she doesn't want to clean her room, Dad, trust me, it's a good deal. It's a good deal that you don't have to check on it for you. It's just a waste of time. Trust him. This is what's going on here. I express my hope that this agreement will be long-lasting and bring forth the desired fruits with the cooperation of all parties. Now, I understand as a minister of the gospel and things like that, you speak on hope, joy, and peace, just as the leader of Jordan did. That was a little joke, everyone. Okay, all right. That was a prior thing we forgot. Francis is the latest of several powerful voices to back the landmark accord struck in July with six world powers, Britain, China, France, Russia, United States, plus Germany, to lift sanctions. Do you know that Germany's got a problem right now, too? Oh, Germany's got a problem. Europe's got a problem. Oh, Britain's got a problem. Oh, yeah. Well, right. France has got a problem. Yeah, they all got problems. Now, Russia's got a problem, too. So they said lift it, and now a couple months later, now everyone's scrambling again. Okay, but what are you trying to say, Pastor Grant? I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. Well, we should have did some different things to slow Jesus coming down. You do what is right, and then it's up to God to do the rest. We just do what is right because we want to be found faithful. We want to be known as the overcomers when these things take place. And lastly, I'm going to do a quick thing here. Polls show in Egypt. Oh, I got ahead of myself. Polls show Egyptians view Israel as the most hostile state. Now, 4 weeks ago, Jordan announced that they're done with the peace treaty that they signed with Israel. Egypt also, because in the last 4 months, a lot of their congressional people are getting murdered by ISIS because they support the United States and no more building in Israel. Egyptian public perception views Israel as the most hostile state, according to the report from the Egyptian Center for Public Opinion on Tuesday. It was conducted throughout the course of May and June, analyzing and perceived hostility of the friendliness of 26 countries from across the globe, with an index from negative 100 to 100, negative figures indicating the most hostile. Okay, this is very interesting. Israel is the most hostile. Did you know Israel takes in more immigrants than any other country throughout the Middle East? Israel gives out more money than anybody in the Middle East to help people in other countries. But they're considered now the most hostile. Having scored Egypt, according to public perception, Egypt scored a positive 88 in their own poll. Egypt scored the highest on their own poll. Don't worry, we'll do self-inspection. Okay, I love this. Following a close second, most friendly to Egypt, United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Sudan, Israel ranked the worst, the United States the second worst. The United States, which up to 2 years ago was giving them almost $1 billion to be nice to Israel. Oh, if you're not going to give me money, we don't like you, we hate you. We're going to vote you number two as the worst. Iran, 3, Turkey, Denmark is number 5. So I trust this poll. But okay, I just wanted to let you know. Now, as we conclude every single week with our current events, because it can be frustrating, can it? Watching the news, can it be frustrating, everyone? Sure. Now, even our goat that screams every week, his voice went hoarse this week. He got so freaked out. So we have a new character that we're adding this week, and we're going to take turns. So this is what he thought of this week's events. Just watch it. Wait. Okay. One more. He's going to do it. Come on. Okay. There we go. That was something in Colorado. I'm not quite sure the animal was. So I played that several times today. I picked up my phone extension twice and played it in someone's ear, and I just, they don't always think I'm as funny as you do at the office, but it's okay. All right, everyone got their notes for tonight? Week 2, Prophecies of Daniel Revealed. Week 2, Prophecies of Daniel Revealed. As a reminder, what we're focusing in on Daniel is the predictions, dreams, visions, and prophecies about the time of the end. The whole book of Daniel is great, but we're specifically looking at these things and looking at this apocalyptic book. Now, Daniel 12:4. The first probably 6-7 pages tonight are more of recap, so I'll go kind of quickly, so don't get scared like, hey, I wish you would slow down. This is from last week. But it's important. Page 1, Daniel 12:4. Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. What time are we in? How do we know that? They've been saying that forever. They couldn't have been, right? Because Israel wasn't a nation again in 1948, everyone. And the 10 nations that the book of Ezekiel mentioned were not hostile towards Israel up until the last, until 2012. We know these things are about to come to pass. How else do I know it's the time of the end? Because the world, the UN, is talking about everyone receiving a mark. How do I know that? In 2005, Supreme Court Justice here in John Roberts, he said, then the senator who is going to be running possibly for president, everyone, our vice president, right? Senator Biden said at the time, in your tenure, you will have to decide, is it lawful for a United States citizen to receive a mark? It's right on C-SPAN. We showed that video clip. Here's Daniel. So then, why am I shutting up the book? So many shall run to and fro and search anxiously through the book. Don't tell anybody anymore about what's going on in here because I want them going through the Word. I want them studying. And knowledge of God's purposes will be revealed even more, and it shall be increased and become great. Why? How can it shall become increased? By the time of the end, the increase of knowledge of God's Word will be just increasing incredibly. Do you not think that we know a lot more about what we did, about Jesus coming now than we did 20 years ago? Of course we do, because we are at the time of the end. It all makes more and more sense now that it's happening. So Revelations 1:1. John the Revelator. 680 years later, it says there's the revelation of the apocalypse or the revealing. Apocalypse means the unveiling or revealing of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. What does things mean? The promise, God's word. God's word is his promise. So he's going to show his servants, you and I, things in his word which was already written down on Isaiah 46:9-10. It says, from the beginning of time, I told you what was going to happen at the end. Now, he says, now I'm going to show you these things in the Bible which are going to shortly come to pass. Once again, that doesn't mean it's going to be a week from now or 2 weeks from now, but shortly. What is shortly? I'm telling you, I'm 46 years old, and it seems like I've only lived a short period of time. Don't get caught up in what is shortly. I wonder what shortly means. It means quick. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto servant John. Now, the unsealing, Revelations 22:10, you don't have to turn there. We're going to go there in a little bit in our notes. That says, now John, don't seal this book up. So Daniel 12:4, seal it up. Let some more time pass. Let people get into my word. They're not going to understand anything more until the time of the end. Does this make sense? I mean, this is right out of the Bible. So stop talking about this. And this is why we've been going through, and even next week as we start going to the actual symbolism, what this means. What is the leopard? What is the bear? What is this lamb with four horns? What's going on? He said, okay, I'm going to give you that symbolism. Now wait, and in Revelation, I'm going to explain it all. But he already gave it to us. Why? Because he says, I've already told you from the beginning what would happen at the end. And they're not ready for it. So these apocalyptic books, there's several, not just Revelation and Daniel, but several, have these symbolisms all throughout. On the next two pages are just maps. Once again, just a reminder, both John and Daniel wrote these in exile. Now, some of this I wanted to give you the comparisons of the two writers, but secondly, just to give you a background to help you understand the Bible a little bit, the maps, if for those who don't like, oh my goodness, all these places we've been talking about in current events, this is where these people wrote. This is where these people lived. Yes, Iraq is huge, as we went through those for 11 weeks in all Bible history. Nineveh was right there. This, all these things took place. So you see there the seven churches mentioned off right off to the east of the Isle of Patmos where John was at. You see smack dab in the center of Iraq right there between the Tigris and the Euphrates right off was Babylon. This is where Daniel wrote the book of Daniel. As we went Revelations 19 last week, and we saw as Jesus was coming back, right? Remember on the side of his thigh, Lord of King of Kings, Lord of Lords, this triumphant entry. Daniel and John both saw this coming back down into the second, this kingdom here on earth. But the reason, like I said, is Daniel was told to seal the book up is because we weren't ready for the revelation that John had for us. So when we understand that the Old Testament, this is important. It's not just about the New Testament. It's about both, Old and New Testament. It proves God's word. It's encouragement to us to know that ever since the beginning of time, he gave the same information to every single person, more in detail as we needed it. And this is interesting. The passage says in the New Testament, Jesus said, I love this. He says, you know, I have more to share with you, but you couldn't handle it all right now. You guys know that passage? He says, hey, you know, there's more that I could tell you about what's going to happen, but you couldn't handle it. He gives us what we can handle. When we're ready, we take it in. I can take this now. And this is the reason the more we read the word, the more we understand God's word and how it's written to us, so for all of us to understand. So by the time John got the full revelation of the apocalypse of the last days, man, it mixes perfectly with what Daniel was saying. Now, real quick, Daniel never saw a false prophet. So Daniel saw things, but then John saw more detail, right? Just like Daniel 12:4 says, now shut up, let some more knowledge happen, and then something's going to happen later on. What, 680 years later, John's going to tell them all in detail. So in Revelations, John saw a beast rising up, this beast system, one world government, one world religion. In the Quran, they call that a caliphate. We see the parallels of the two. Daniel never saw a mark. John did. They have no idea. See, when you go through the Old Testament, it's like, okay, well, no idea. Now when we read Revelation, we actually know what this mark is going to be. We can actually see how we could take a mark. Someone just came up to me last Sunday, and he says, you know, you did a current event about 7-8 months ago, and said that by a certain time this year that our credit cards from our banks will all have an RFID chip in it. You guys remember that? And they just got their new credit card in the mail with the RFID chip in it. Now, I'm not saying don't use the credit card. I'm just saying this is the understanding of the technology that's there to implement, everyone. So pay attention to what Jesus said, Matthew 24:33. Pay attention to the signs of knowing that I'm coming back. So the increase of this technology for this mark to take place. Daniel never saw the beheading of people, but people are being beheaded. John saw it. John says, I saw people popping up into heaven for having their heads beheaded, for not accepting the mark and not following after this Antichrist, this false religion. We know right now that people are beheaded right now for not switching over to Islam. Correct? So Daniel never saw the image of the beast. Daniel never saw the New Jerusalem in detail like I just read to you in Revelation. How awesome was that? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I can actually see that. Man, now I can actually see how this, I mean, we can look from space and see how huge this is. We have this globe. We understand how everything works. So here's where we left off last week. Both Daniel and in the book of Daniel, John, the book of Revelation, deal with Gentile nations and Gentile empires and how they're going to impact Israel, the Jewish people, and the city of Jerusalem. So they both see that, and then in Revelation, John sees how the whole world is going to be involved in this as well. So I'm going to focus on right now is what Daniel and John both saw in their visions and what they write and how it comes into a full picture. Tonight still, it's foundational in the sense that I'm giving you this information to build on, and then we're going to get into the symbolisms and understand what countries are involved so we can actually see this thing unfolding. We're going to know, these countries are supposed to happen, and this, and Daniel said this was supposed to take place. Now, Bo saw the world's final kingdom in detail. We're going to, for a time tonight, Daniel 7 and then Revelation 17, that's in there. Bo saw the world's final kingdom. Both saw a time frame of 7 years. I've had several people ask me, and you know, when we go through this, I try to highlight this quite a bit. So I wanted to share this with you. Both Daniel, Old Testament, and John, New Testament, saw this 7-year tribulation period. Old Testament also calls the last 42 months, last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation. It also calls it the Great Tribulation in the New Testament. The Old Testament also refers to as Jacob's trouble. But in Daniel 9:27, it speaks of one prophetic week. We're going to spend some time on this in 3 or 4 weeks. In the Hebrew is 7 years. 1 week equals 7 years in this writing in Daniel 9:27. The book of Revelation, this 7-year period, is spoken of time and time again as 2 42-month periods. 42 months is 3.5 years. Some of your translations will say 1,260 days. So this is where we talk about the 7-year time period of a tribulation. The first half of the tribulation is where the two witnesses will go around, right? This is right out of the Bible. We're going to go over this in a second, just as a reminder. But I want to understand the flow of how this is going and kind of get this in your mind, because you'll understand what the news says and what's going on. War of Gog and Magog in Ezekiel, Old Testament, 2,600 years ago, 10 nations mentioned. It says right around the time of the rapture of the church, a little before, a little after, right around there. The rapture of the church takes place, then 42 months of peace in the Middle East. How do I know there's peace? Because the Bible says Israel will start making sacrifices again in the temple for 42 months. Well, how do I know that hasn't started yet? Because Israel's not making sacrifices in the temple. What else happens at that time period? The rapture, the war of Gog and Magog. Why do they get to start making sacrifices again? Because right now, everyone's against them. They won't let him even have their temple. Well, they can't even pray. I mean, how can they start making sacrifices again? Because in the war of Gog and Magog, when the 10 nations come up against Israel and Israel doesn't fire a shot, according to the Bible, everyone backs away from Israel and says, oh my goodness, God is with them. Whatever you guys want to do. Peace treaty is signed. You guys go ahead into the temple, start doing whatever you want again. Sacrifices begin again in the temple. That's right in God's word. Then the two witnesses go around for 42 months. Hey, guess what just happened? Listen, you know the Jesus that you think didn't really come? Well, he did come from back in the Bible. All the people that disappeared, they're in heaven. They're waiting for you. You guys, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. So what's going to happen? Daniel 9:27. Both saw a time frame. Daniel said, he shall enter into a strong and firm covenant, for 1 week, 7 years, in the midst of that week, so this is an antichrist. So someone's going to, 10 nations, and someone's going to say, okay, we're going to be off of you at the beginning of the 7 years. In the midst of that, in the midst of it, halfway through, 3.5 years, upon the wing of a pinnacle of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the full determined end is poured out on the desolation. Desolation. Whoosh, sacrifices stop. Halfway through, boom, it's over, done. But you said, nah. They lied. Something's, bam, halfway through 3.5 years, Revelation 11:2. Leave out of your measuring the court outside the sanctuary of God. Omit that, for it is given over to the Gentile nations now, and they're going to trample the holy city underfoot for 42 months. The Quran says that they must take Jerusalem, that the third most holiest site. They don't have the holiest site yet. But then it says Israel starts making sacrifices again. So Israel's going to, they're going to get back the holiest site. But now 42 months into the 7-year time period. So Daniel sees the 7-year time period. And he says halfway through, they stop making the sacrifices, and then something's going to happen. Then John says, yeah, what's going to happen is this eighth empire, seventh empire is the first 3.5 years, those next 3.5 years, they're going to come in and trample Jerusalem and take it over for 42 months. Then in Revelation 13:5, the beast is given words of speech, uttering boastful and blasphemous words, and he was given freedom to exert his authority, to exercise his will during how long? 42 months. Once again, gives us that detail. He's going to be able, he was given what? Freedom. Who's given it to him? God. He ain't going to do nothing that God ain't going to let him to do. He says, here you go. He has to give him the freedom. He said in his word, he has to do it. So this, he's going to let him take over Jerusalem. Because of that, Israel is going to flee. Now, to this 42-month period, the last half of the tribulation, remember, there's a 42 months in the first half. We just went over that. The sacrifices, the war of Gog and Magog, this is what's going to happen. And I want to touch base on this again, Revelation 11:3. Here's the two witnesses now for the first 42 months. First 42 months of the seven-year period. Daniel saw this 1 week in the Hebrew, which is 7 years. I will grant the power of prophecy to my two witnesses for 1,260 days or 42 months or 3.5 years. If anyone, verse 5, attempts to injure them, fire pours from their mouth and consumes their enemies. Okay, God doesn't want the word from being stopped to his people. He's giving them one last chance before his wrath or Jacob's trouble or the great tribulation pours upon them the last 42 months. Once the Antichrist takes over Jerusalem, this is when God's wrath pours out. Just understand this. God's saying, fine, take Jerusalem. As soon as they take Jerusalem, bam, that's when he hits them. Here you go. He's setting them up. These two witnesses, though, have power to shut up the skies so no rain may fall during the days of their prophesying. They have power to turn water into blood and to smite the scourge of the earth with all manner of plagues as often as they choose. But when they finish their testimony and the evidence is all in. You know, when we pray for people to come to Christ, our job is to give them the evidence. So God is allowing these two witnesses, he says, you got 3.5 years, and this is what you're going to need to give the evidence to every single person who I am. But when they finished, and the evidence is all in, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will wage war on them and conquer them and kill them. Their dead bodies will lay exposed in the open street in the great city, which is in a spiritual sense called Sodom and Egypt, which also the Lord was crucified, for 3.5 days from the races and tribes and languages, they'll gaze upon their dead bodies and they will not be put into a tomb. Those who dwell on the earth will gloat and exult and rejoice and send presents to one another. that these prophets and such vexation and trouble and torment all the dwellers on. But after 3.5 days, God gives the breath of life. That's his spirit. That's in Genesis chapter 1. When God breathed into man, it says it was his spirit that went into him. When you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, it's the spirit that comes into you. And it says God now gives the gift of his spirit and puts it back into them. And they rose up immediately on their feet, and great dread and terror fell upon those who watched. Why? They just saw people come back to life 3.5 years. Just like 3.5 years prior, when they all came up against Israel and Israel did not lift a finger, the same verbiage that is used there in the Greek when it says is same as in the Hebrew in Ezekiel. It said dread and terror were upon them because they saw, oh my goodness, this is God doing this. So they saw these two men rise up. They couldn't kill them for 3.5 years. All of a sudden, they're jumping up and down because they could. And then 3.5 days later, they pop up and they're saying, oh no. And at that very hour, tremendous earthquake, and 1/10 of the city was destroyed. 7,000 people perished, and those who remained were filled with dread and terror and were awestruck as they glorified the God of heaven. It's going to happen, everyone. It's going to happen. Both saw. Now, both John and Daniel saw the final rule for 42 months. This is important. Once again, when people ask, well, where is this at? Once again, we just went over several passages right here. We went through the time of the end, 11 weeks. We shared where this stuff is at. Now here, number three, both saw the final rule for 42 months. Here's in a different place. In Daniel 12:7, I heard a man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right and his left hand towards heaven. He swore by him, capital H, who lives forever, and there shall be for a time, times and a half of time, or 3.5 years, and when they made an end of shattering and crushing the power of the holy people, all things shall be finished. Interesting. Time, times, and a half. What does that mean? In your notes, I put down, it's right out of, you just look back. How did they speak? What are they referring to? Time equals 1 year. The plurality of times, or times, is 2 years. Half a time is half a year. 3.5 years. When you read the King James, it's the same thing in Daniel. When you read in Revelation, here we go in Revelation. The woman, Israel, was supplied with two wings of a giant eagle so that she might fly out from the presence of the serpent. Why? Because it says that Israel, we read this a couple 2 weeks ago, it says Israel will be scattered again. Why would they be scattered? Because they were at the Temple Mount again. They had it back in control. But 42 months into it, the trampling of it takes place, and it says Israel scatters. They leave. They bolt out of there. To the retreat where it's become. How long were they there? They were fed for a time, times and a half time. It's right there. All throughout the Bible, first 42 months, the second 42 months. First 42 months, there's witnessing going on all throughout Israel. The second, God's wrath pours out. What happens? They take the abomination of desolation, they stop that, bam, Israel bolts, and this is right out of the Quran as well, everyone. This is what they have to do. So this is why we study the Bible. Do you know that we study the Bible? Because if we could just read and go, oh, yeah, I get it. No, you have to study the Bible. We keep reading the Bible over and over again. The first time I read that passage, I didn't say, oh, that's 3.5 years. It's easy. Time is 1 year and times is 2 years. Now, that might be in Common Core math, but that is not. That was a little joke, everyone. Did you get that? Okay, some of you? Okay, all right. So that is not a new math, everyone. But back then, this is how they referred to time, times, and half time. So when we study God's word, we get revelation to something like time, times, and half times. Because God doesn't want us, the word says, ignorant to what his word says. So we study the Bible. Now, I've had people come up, and I used to do this to me, too. How do you know this? Right? Well, now you know it. So someone asks, well, how do you know this? You go to God's word. You show them in God's word. But the purpose of why we're doing this is I've had people in my life who've taught me. My dad was a great studier of the Bible. Now, I didn't sit there when I was 16 and go, oh, man, Dad, you're awesome at studying the Bible. Man, the older I got, though, I could appreciate the things that he taught, the things that he studied, and even for the time that when he was alive, the information, he did the best with the information, even in regards to end times. Now, end times, I don't want to say was his thing. He spoke on everything, which I do too, but for whatever reason, I'm very passionate about this, and I don't even know why. I'm just going to tell you right up front, I don't know why. Someone asked me, have you always done this? I go, no, about 6 or 7 years ago, it just kicked in. And even like this, right, I've never even, like even Daniel, I've never studied Daniel like I'm studying it right now. And I'm just going through. Now, I know lots of this stuff already. I'm just putting it together to see these parallels. But I want to show you something because I don't want you to walk away, not just tonight, but any night thinking, man, I could never know that. Sure you are, through Bible study. This is why we get together. This is God's people. See, we all have a role and a part to play in the kingdom of God. There's roles. When everyone's doing their role, it all comes together. Ephesians 4:8. Therefore, it is said, this is Paul writing to the church, when Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive. And he bestowed gifts upon men. Now what can say he ascended mean be that he had previously descended from the heights in heaven and the depths of the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the very same, and he who has also ascended high above all the heavens. And he, so he might fulfill all things. And his gifts were varied. Some to be apostles, special messengers, prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, evangelists, traveling missionaries, pastors, and teachers. His intention was the perfecting and full equipping of the saints. So God sent people all throughout time. You and I are supposed to be here right now. For the foundations of the earth were formed, he knew who was going to be here tonight. And he is saying, okay, you have the opportunity to go listen to this tonight. And he goes, Grant, you have the opportunity to go study and speak on this tonight. So do you want to do it? See, he's not going to force it against our will. It's do we want to do his will? Because verse 13, it says, verse 12, once again, it says, the work of ministering towards building up Christ's body. I'm here to build you up. How am I building you up by talking about this right now? Because the word says, why, if I tell you what God's word says, fear has to leave. Fear has to leave. And then when you're speaking to other people, it exponentially quickens you and says, you know what? I got to speed up my game here. I got to pray for more people. I got to get the word out. Why? Because I see how close the time of the end is. That's equipping you. That's equipping you. Verse 13. Until we all attain oneness in the faith. What I want is every single person to know this. Why? Because it's the Bible and we're commanded to know it. Verse 14. So we may no longer be like little children, tossed like ships to and fro between chance gust of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine. I've had actually people tell me, you know what? I've heard people say that this stuff really isn't real. I go, and who's that? They said, well, I was listening to Pastor so-and-so. I said, I would run from that. What do you mean it's not real? Well, they don't believe in the rapture of the church. And I go, so what is all of this? What's Revelations about? What's Daniel about? What's Zechariah about? What is Paul talking about in Thessalonians? What's he talking about in Colossians? What are you talking about in Ephesians? What's he talking about in Galatians? What are all these books about? Oh, I don't know. Run as fast as you can. As soon as someone starts preaching contrary to the Bible, you run. You run, you run, you run. Because a little bit of bad, it spoils the whole bunch. A little bit. Because there's people, it says, who are going to be cunning and clever and unscrupulous men and every shifting form of trickery and inventing errors to mislead. I don't know why they want to mislead. I know the enemy uses people. They might not try to prevent you into heaven, but they might try to be making a buck. So they come up with a book that's contrary because, you know what? That's how things are. You have to create something contrary to buy something, right? We have two political parties. Why? Because that's how you stay in business. Let's create a third party. Why? So more people can get involved. You have shoes that are opposite. You have high heel shoes and low heel shoes, right? Well, high heel shoes hurt my feet. Fine, buy the low shoes. Why wear low shoes? It doesn't make me look as good. Guys, you know what? Oh, I just want comfortable shoes. And your wife says, but those are ugly, so you wear nice shoes and they're uncomfortable. See, we have contrary to everything. That's how you make money. You have one thing, right? Everyone has their Thanksgiving Day pants, everybody. Everyone knows what I'm talking about, right? Okay, you got your big boy pants for Thanksgiving Day because you want to eat, right? Woo! And then 3 days later, I want to go back into my little boy pants again because I got to look good, right? So, but they sell people on big boy pants for Thanksgiving because you have to be contrary to something else. That's how you make money. There's contrary. So there's going to be teaching that's contrary to the word of God because people are going to make a buck. That is not the only reason. That's not the motivating factor. I'm just telling you right now, there's reasons why there's a contrary word to this word. Because you got to come up with something new to create something new, but there's nothing new under the sun according to God's word. Oh, man, that was good. All right. Woo! So rather, verse 15, let our lives live lovingly expressing truth. I'm supposed to express truth. Well, Pastor, that sounds terrible. We're all going to die. No, we're all going to see Jesus. The ones who don't want him are going to go die and forever going to be in the abyss and hell. So it's my job to say, I don't want you to go there. I'm going to tell you. Because of him, the whole body, the church, closely joined and firmly knit together in verse 16, together, joints and ligaments which he supplied. So this I say, verse 17, I solemnly testify in the name of the Lord that you must no longer live as the heathen do in their perverseness of their minds. Man. This is what you and I are supposed to do. So Never get caught in like, how do I know this? We need sound teaching. We need someone. And like I said, I listen, I read, I go, I want someone telling me the truth. Don't water it down. We're too close to the end to get a little bit of information. I want it all. How do I know I want it all? Because Jesus told John, unseal the whole thing and give the full revelation of Jesus Christ and don't hold anything back. Whew. If you're living together in sin tonight, right now you're having premarital sex and you're together, stop it right now in the name of Jesus. Stop it. Stop it. If you're living life not according to God's word, stop it. Well, that seems a little harsh. No, it's the most loving thing I could ever tell you. Jesus is coming and stop it. I don't know who that was for, but I don't know if it's from someone at home right now watching online. But stop it. Number four, both saw the rise of the final dictator. Both saw the rise of the final dictator. You can read that at home in Daniel 8:23, but he saw this corrupt and someone wanted his own pleasure. But in Revelation, we find out the final dictator that Daniel spoke of, John refers to as well in Revelation. And in 1 John, is not in your notes, but 1 John, he actually, the word Antichrist is used. But in Revelation 13, I saw on the sandy beach. So Daniel saw something, but then Revelation, John had more revelation. And he says, I saw, still in the sandy beach, I saw a beast coming out of the sea, the Mediterranean. Mediterranean is so important with this end time script, with end time prophecy. With 10 horns and 7 heads, on his horns was written blasphemy titles. The beast that I saw resembled a leopard. The next several weeks, we're going to go over all what this is. A leopard, but his feet were like that of a bear. Well, Pastor, I know what a bear is. No, that's not, they're talking about a real bear. Well, I saw the Antichrist the other day. It was a bear. No, this is, we're talking about something a little different. The dragon gave his own might and power to his own to throw dominion. So, number five, both saw a final kingdom described as a beast. Both saw a one-world government and a one-world religion. God gave that to them. After this, I saw in the night visions, Daniel wrote, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, a strong exceedingly, it had great iron teeth that devoured and broke into pieces and stampeded the residue with feet of it. It was diverse from all the other beasts that were before it and had 10 horns. 10 nations, it devoured everything in its path. You don't think what's going on right now with ISIS is devouring everything in its path? So you're saying ISIS? No, ISIS is the precursor of what's going to take place. God allows things to happen to wake the church up. He's waking the church up. So we know from Revelations, though, in chapter 13, John is using the imagery of Daniel seeing the beast rising out of the sea. Once again, we're going to talk about this in detail in the next couple weeks. So John saw the same thing in verse 2. He saw the leopard, he saw the feet of a bear, the mouth of a lion, the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. Both saw 10 kings accompanying the beast. They were both saw 10 kings, the 10 horns in Revelation 17, 12, 10 horns, Daniel 7, 24. So there are 10 nations that are going to come out and they're going to come up against Israel. There is 10 nations. We know that. We're going to go through what the Bible says who those are going to be. Both saw a time of great tribulation on the earth. There's going to be a time of great tribulation, everyone. Well, I think it's bad right now. You ain't seen nothing yet. Because the Bible said this time of great tribulation is going to be something like you have never seen before or never will ever see again. Why? Everyone's going to be against everybody. Moms against kids and husbands, they're going to be turning people in. Why? Because ISIS is coming. The Islamic State, this Islamic rule. They're going to kill you if you don't go into that. And they're going to say, hey, if you have kids, and you're going to say, I'll kill you if you don't tell me where they're at. This is what's going to happen. The Bible says in Luke 21 that people are going to turn each other in. Because this is what they're looking for. This is happening right now over in the Middle East. This is just a little sampling of what's going to take place. Both saw great trouble for Israel and the Jews. I think isn't it interesting? When Daniel and these guys wrote this, Israel wasn't a nation. They both saw trouble for Israel, and it wasn't a nation yet. Interesting that the generation that sees Israel become a nation again, it says is going to experience all these other prophetic things. Right? Well, when did Israel become a nation again? 1948. That generation that sees Israel become a nation again is going to see all these other prophetic things coming to pass. Well, what great trouble? Oh, Daniel said there's going to be great trouble for Israel. Oh, John said this is going to happen too. This is where we need to be careful. Well, people say, well, Israel's, since 1948, they've always been in trouble. Okay? Once again, don't run with a passage. I'm taking the whole Bible. I'm taking the Old and New Testament. I'm taking 13 different books of the Bible that specifically point towards the time of the end. And I'm saying, I'm looking at all these passages in entirety, all of the passages. And I'm saying, this is the time that they're speaking of. This is what's going to happen. A lot of people will take a verse or two verses and go, well, it can't be that because, well, you didn't compare it to, remember again, the Bible confirms the Bible.
Well, I don't see that in Daniel 12:1.
Oh, well, how about Daniel 7? How about Daniel 9? How about Daniel 2? How about Daniel 4? How about Zechariah 3? How about this? How about in John? How about in Ephesians? Oh, is that what it's talking about? Yes. Why? That's why I just said in Ephesians, that's why God sends prophets, preachers, teachers for a time to put it together. Right? It's for all of us, because all of us need this information. Not just me, not just you, all of us need this. This is so cool. Number 9. Bo saw Michael the archangel intervene. A war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels went forth to battle with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought. Daniel 12:1. And at that time, the time of the end, Michael's going to rise, the great angelic prince who defends and has charge over Daniel's people. And there shall be a time of trouble, straitness in the nations that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered. It is so cool. Number 10, both saw into the throne room of God. Throne room of God. I kept looking in until thrones were placed. And the Ancient of Days, God the Eternal Father, took his seat, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame. Its wheels were burning in fire. And John in Revelation 4 said, and at once I came under the Holy Spirit power, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on that throne. Everyone, there is going to be a time that we are going to be judged. We're going to talk about this more. There's two different times we're going to be judged. You don't want to do the second one. You want to make that the first time. We're going to talk about this more once again. Last week and this week is the foundation to understand Revelation and Daniel together. John and Daniel together, and what they saw, and it's true. Both saw 10,000 times 10,000. In thousands, they saw a lot of people. A lot of people. You can do the math on that if you'd like. But in Revelation 5:11, I love this. He says, I looked up and I heard voices of many angels on every side of the throne and of the living creatures and the elders, which is the heavenly Sanhedrin. It's the Sanhedrin is a high court of justice or Supreme Court council in ancient Jerusalem. And they numbered 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands. Same thing Daniel saw. Both saw books open in heavenly judgment. Okay. I want to stop here for a second. Number 12. In 2 Peter, there's a passage, and we're going to go in. You don't have to turn there tonight. We're going to go in this a little bit. It talks about the end of time that people will start arguing the age of the earth. And that judgment would come upon the earth again. So at the end of time. Interesting. Do you know that people argue about the age of the earth? So 2,000 years ago, it just so happened, not only did they predict Israel would become a nation again, not only predict that 10 nations that are currently surrounding Israel, when Israel wasn't a nation yet, said they wouldn't like Israel. The Bible also said through Peter that at the time of the end, people would have difficulty with the age of the earth and that there was a flood. It actually says right in the Bible. Why would they have difficulty saying there's going to be a flood? Because flood in Genesis represents judgment. The reason we're talking now, so this is a huge book, and this right here, this number in Revelation 20 and Daniel 7, people have difficulty with this. They don't want to know about the Lamb's Book of Life or the Great White Throne Judgment. They have nothing to do with that. I don't want to know that. Why? Because they don't want to think there's a final judgment coming. How do I know that? Because the Bible says so. And if you talk to people, they don't want to talk about it. I don't want to believe in that stuff. Well, it's coming. I don't believe it. Well, you can believe that if you jump off a building, you won't get hurt, but I think it's going to happen. Because God's word is true. Number 13. Both saw the return of the Messiah. Oh, you know what? Go back. I want to focus on this for a second. Revelation 20, verse 12. Both saw books open in the heavenly judgment. John saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, sentenced, and what they had done, their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors, in accordance with what was recorded in the books. It matters how we live our life. It matters, everyone, how we live our lives. Do we have to be perfect? There's no one perfect except for Jesus Christ. But the Bible says to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, meaning, God, I'm striving to be more like you every day. And then when we do things that are contrary to God's word, it says, I have to ask for forgiveness, everyone. And he says he is faithful and just to forgive us when we ask for it. When we fail, and that's why I'm telling you, if you're living in sin right now and there's sins that people commit and they commit all the time and they don't care anymore, that is called iniquity. It's called iniquity. The Bible says that anyone living in iniquity will never see the kingdom of heaven, ever. If you're doing something right now and you're not asking forgiveness and you're habitually doing it, Galatians 5, stop it right now. Seems a little harsh, Pastor. It's the most loving thing I can tell you. Stop it right now. Get right with Jesus. Ask for forgiveness. Because there's going to be a book that's opened up at the end of time. You want to be right with Christ. Number 14, both saw the Messiah coming in the clouds. This is so cool. Daniel, I saw night visions, and behold, on the clouds of heaven came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. Revelation 1, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth shall gaze upon him and beat their breasts and mourn and lament over him. Even so must it be. Number 15, both saw the beast burning in flames. Okay, just so you know, the enemy's going to be defeated, everyone. What? God's word says so. I looked, and because the sound of the great words which the horn was speaking, I watched until the beast was slain, his body destroyed and given over and burned with fire. Revelation 19, and the beast was seized and overpowered, and the false prophet along with him. The false prophet along with him. Where's the false prophet coming from? Okay, this might hurt some people's feelings, but we studied this. He's coming out of Rome. How do I know that? It said so right in the Bible. It says, in the sixth empire, at the beginning of the tribulation, there's going to be a false prophet. He's coming out of Rome, Italy. That's what the Bible says. I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm trying to protect you. In the last 42 months, it says that the Antichrist goes over and they wipe out Rome, Italy, and the apostate Christianity. That's God's words. 2,000 years ago, they said Rome, Italy. How did they know? But this is truth. This is where we can't walk on eggshells. This is what the Bible says. Because things, you can see things changing. You can see the religious things changing on TV. It's like you watch, you go, I can't believe that person just said or did that. I'm not saying a religion is all bad. I'm saying is there is going to be a system of a religion that's going to be set up that's false. And it's going to lead many astray. Both saw the saints take over the kingdom, though. That's you and I. We're taking it over. You know, we're going to live in that little place, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high. We get this new kingdom. But both saw an everlasting kingdom that would not end. They saw the sky. They saw these things taking place. And I encourage you to read Revelation 21 again. But Daniel saw this empire and how it was going to affect Jerusalem, how it was going to affect Israel and the Jewish people. And John sees the empire and how it's going to attack in Revelation. So they both see, I gave, like I said, the last 2 weeks, there's some comparisons between the two. And I want you to understand the relationship between the two because we're going to go back and forth. But in Daniel, the symbolism, we have to understand this because we can unlock certain things that are right out of the book of Daniel that we didn't maybe used to. But now we see it taking place, and Revelation comes alive because these two books, these two men, they complement each other in their writing. Daniel could not see certain things because God says, I don't have to reveal them to you. It wasn't necessary, but when my people are ready, bam, I'm going to give them the wisdom that they've never even dreamed possible that they could have. So during the study, there's five different chapters we're going to be going through in the book of Daniel. They're significant in the time of the end. These chapters, you can see prophecy coming to a climax in the end of days. These five chapters. So what we're going to be going through is Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the metallic image, Daniel chapter 2, the dream of the tree stump with brass and iron bands, the vision of the four great beasts rising from the sea. It's the Mediterranean Sea. The vision of the ram and the he-goat in Daniel chapter 8 and the interpretation of the 70-week prophecy. We're going to go through that specifically. I want you to fully understand what's going on, you so you could tell other people. I'm saying this is the most exciting time I ever lived. So when we go through this, this is what makes our current events come alive, right? So, but see, people go, oh, yeah, I just like current events. Well, no, the more excitement about current events is because we know more of this. Because we could watch current events all day, but if we have no idea what they're about, well, why? It's actually depressing. It can be depressing. Even when you know, it could be depressing. But this is so important that we don't become like Lot's wife. Lot says, I'm moving because God's destroying this place. And we're going, oh, but I really, no, don't turn back. Don't turn back. These five chapters, 2, 4, 7, 8, and 9, these five chapters specifically contain concealed symbolic ciphers and words that now can be unlocked. Why? Through our understanding now of Revelation and what's going on in the world right now. We actually see the 10 nations. We can actually see all these things take place. We see ISIS. We can understand the Quran now. Before, people might study it over in the Middle East or might have a study here. But now we share information. We can go online. I mean, there's people, like I said, I get emails from people saying, hey, I watched this online. I never knew this was taking place. There's people in Germany. There's two people right now watching, they'll be watching in Germany tonight. Which is actually be tomorrow, which is actually Friday for them. So there's the time thing. So when they watch it, they're going to go, oh, I didn't know this. Now they can share with people what's going on over there. This is the information. This is what Daniel said, multiplication of not just information about the Bible, but knowledge is going to be spreading and being shared. But the reason we must do this is because it's at the time of the end, and we have to know what Daniel's talking about. Why? Because he says, I want this thing unsealed. Not just the book of Revelation unsealed, he says the whole thing is unsealed now. This is what, it's just not Revelation being unsealed, it's everything's being unsealed, right? It's the whole thing. All 66 books pop. So there's going to be images of the beast that Daniel saw in his vision, and the book of Daniel, along with another image that we're going to talk about later in the book of Revelation, that combines the beast together, that gives us a clue about the Antichrist and his kingdom and where it will rise from. It's right in Daniel, it's right in Revelation. And it really hurts me not to share it with you tonight, but we have to study, right? We just don't want to jump ahead to the answer, right? Okay. And if you come next week, I'll tell you when Jesus is coming. I'm just kidding. Okay. I scratch that. I was just kidding, everyone. No man knows. All right. Okay. All right. It's just a little joke, everyone. Okay. All right. It does get people to come back, though. I found that out. Okay. All right. So what we're going to discover by looking at this is the order of prophetic empires. We're going to actually see the order of prophetic empires when we study this. The empires of Bible prophecy, but the global Rome at the end of times, the global Rome. We're also going to see the final kingdom with a dreadful leader. We're going to look at that. The Antichrist who forms his own kingdom with 10 kings. So there's 10 nations that come up against Israel, War of Gog and Magog. And then the Bible says the first 42 months, those 10 kings don't do anything against Israel. Then it says the Antichrist says, hey, you guys, let's go take Israel now. And let's go trample Jerusalem. Number four, the Messiah returns in the days of these 10 kings. This is important. According to the writings of Daniel, the Messiah, which we now know as Jesus Christ in Revelation, is going to return at the end of days when these 10 kings are in power. It couldn't have happened until the 10 kings were in power. Okay, this is if you don't see it, he can't come because he said, because I'm saying this because people said, well, I bet you we're halfway during the tribulation. We can't. Well, Pastor, are you pre-trib? Are you post-trib? Are you mid-trib? I'm Bible. I'm Bible. Are you Assemblies of God? Are you Baptist? I'm a believer in the Bible. As soon as you start saying, well, I go to the Assemblies of God church, my ordination's through the Assemblies of God, but I'm a follower of the Bible. I'm a believer of the Bible. Are you pre, post, or mid? I follow the Bible. So if you want to call it pre, that's fine. It says, at the beginning of the 7 years, I pop out of here. That's all. That's what it says. How do I know that? Because 42 months follow the rapture of the church, and then another 42 months. I would say that's 7 years, and I'm leaving before that because the Bible says I am. So it's important to understand these 10 kings have to, if they're not in power yet, I can't be 72 months into something because they're not in power yet. They haven't formed a coalition. The War of Gog and Magog hasn't taken place yet. There's no two witnesses floating around. People says, well, hold on. Why can't we be 1 year away from the end? Because the two witnesses haven't been around yet. Do you guys see how important it is to know the Bible? See, there's false teachings out there. I don't know why you would teach this. It doesn't make any sense why you would falsely teach that Jesus is 1 year, that the end is 1 year, and we're in the middle of the tribulation. Really? How? Because it doesn't line up with this. So, well, where do you stand? Are you this and this and this? No, I'm a believer in the Bible, and we're supposed to be Bereans, good studiers of the Bible, and this is what it says. So when we look at things, there's an order. God is a God of order. Oh, God pulled a fast one. He tricked me. He said he was going to wait, and he came early. The Bible says he only comes to those who are unaware, like a thief in the night. For those who aren't looking, he comes like a thief in the night. That's what the Bible says. He doesn't come unannounced to those who are waiting, because he says, you'll know the signs of my return. He says over and over, I command you to know the signs of my return. Why? So you don't get caught unaware. But many people try to put us somewhere in the middle of the tribulation, and it doesn't make sense because we just read in Daniel, the first 42 months, and then in Revelations, the first 42 months, this is going to take place, and then the last 42 months, this is going to take place. We can't be in the middle of any of that yet. It's impossible. It's impossible. So we have to put the whole Word of God together. We can't just pull one verse, a thought, an ideology, and throw away other scriptures. Well, maybe it could mean this. No, Daniel confirms in Revelation. Revelation is referred to in Daniel. Oh, and guess what? Passages in Galatians and Ephesians are referred to. It constantly confirms. Now, apocalyptic books all use symbolism. And the question then is, why would these writers and prophets in the Bible use symbolism? Right? Why would they do that? Why would God have them write about a goat with four horns, a ram with two horns, one's bigger than the other, and a beast with the body like a leopard and feet like a bear and mouth like... Why can't he just tell us who the nations are? Right? Why? We're going to find out next week. See, there's the cliffhanger. You got to have a cliffhanger every week. People got to come back. So... You guys get this tonight? Isn't God's word awesome? God's word is awesome. Amen. All right, let's stand. We're going to close in prayer. And tonight, what we're going to...